Hey everybody, welcome to Mosaic House Online Worship. I am so glad you're here and you are glad you're here, but more than anything else, what's most important is that the Lord Jesus, the living hope, Christ Himself, is pleased that we are all here. The Bible uses different languages, different expressions to explain our relationship to Jesus Christ, the living hope. And here's one. The Bible calls you and me sheep. Can you say baa? And the Bible says Jesus is the good shepherd. Now, when the Bible calls you and me sheep, you know what it means? It's not a compliment. What it really means is this. Sheep are one of those very few animals in the world that are really, really helpless. Sheep can't feed themselves. They can't find their own food. Sheep cannot protect themselves. They're helpless. They can't bite. They can't kick. When a wolf attacks, it just dies. Hence the term, it's the ultimate dead meat. It can't find food. They can't find food. They can't guard themselves. And lastly, they get lost. They go astray. Sheep have this flocking mentality. So whenever a sheep astrays, it's not just, you know, one sheep getting lost. It's the whole flock of sheep being led astray. Hence the expression, be led, going astray like sheep. That's what the Bible says. Now, what it means, this metaphor, this analogy, explaining ourselves and our need for the Good Shepherd. It means just like sheep, you and I, we can't feed ourselves. We can't find the food on our own. We're talking about the spiritual food. And just like sheep, we cannot protect ourselves from the wolves. And I'll say more about that. We can't defend ourselves. We can't guard ourselves against the attacks. And lastly, we are perpetually getting lost. We are going astray. We are going away from God the Father. We're running the exact opposite direction, and we get lost all the time. And that's why the Bible declares and warns that we need not only any shepherd, not only a shepherd, we need the good chief shepherd. So that's why I'm so glad and thankful to the Lord that we're in this series called Living Hope. Jesus is our living hope. And today we are better together in what? We are better together in shepherding. Can you say that? We are better together in shepherding. Baha. That's the last time you will hear me say that. Let's go to the word of the Lord. It's at the very end of the first epistle of Peter, chapter 5. It's the last chapter in this letter. And this is what he writes to you and me. Hear the word of the Lord. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. Not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. In the same way, you who are under, submit yourselves to your elders. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Let's read the last verse together. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Friends, I believe with all my heart, this is what the risen Christ, the living hope, wants you and me to know, understand, and embrace. The theme and the goal. The chief shepherd shepherds you to shepherd. It's kind of a tongue twister, ain't it? The chief shepherd, Jesus Christ, he is the divine, the ultimate shepherd. What does he do? He shepherds you to shepherd. You are being shepherded by the chief shepherd for the purpose of shepherding one another. In verse 4, the Apostle Peter writes, "And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive a crown of glory that will never fade away." He says right there in black and white, Jesus Christ, He is the ultimate divine, the one and the only chief shepherd for you, for me, for all humanity in all times. It's not the first time Peter is mentioning Jesus Christ as the chief shepherd. In chapter 2, verse 25, this is what he wrote initially. "For you are like sheep going astray." There we go. Getting lost, running away from God, being led astray. You are forever, forever, perpetually lost in your sin, in your sickness, in your fallen humanity. But here's something good happens. "But now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls, Jesus Christ. He sought you out. He came, he went on a rescue mission. He said, Victor is lost. He is a sheep, dumb sheep. There he goes again, going astray time after time. And I must go find him. I must go rescue him. And he has become my good shepherd. He found me. He put me on his shoulders and he brought me back to the flock." And that's what Peter is saying. Jesus Christ is the chief shepherd. And what has he done? He shepherded the sheep, the flock of sheep, his disciples, his followers. And now his followers and we are being shepherded by the divine shepherd through the authority of the church elders and for the purpose of shepherding one another. Let me show you my roadmap. With our time together, I want to answer the following two questions. How did the chief shepherd shepherd his sheep back then, 2,000 years ago? Second question, how do we today, how do we in 2022, how do we shepherd his sheep in our day? So first, how did the chief shepherd shepherd his sheep? I want to answer that by saying three G word. Number one, guide. Repeat after me. Guide. Good. Guard. Grow. Chief shepherd, Jesus Christ, shepherded his sheep by guiding, guarding, and growing. Let's get to the first one. Guide. Psalm 23, one of the most familiar Bible passages that you are aware of. Psalm 23. Jesus Christ is being described as by the King David. "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake." Jesus Christ, he shepherded his sheep when he walked on the face of the earth by leading them, guiding them to the green pastures. Food. We're not talking about any food. We're talking about the living bread, the bread from heaven, the bread that satisfies our hunger. Jesus Christ guided his sheep to his true, true teaching, the kingdom of God, preaching of the righteousness. He also led the sheep to the quiet waters. Christ is the living water that will quench your thirst. You have thirst. And only Jesus can quench that because he is your living water. He led people to the quiet waters. He also led people to the path of righteousness for his name's sake. It's talking about Jesus being the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father, Christ claimed. No one can come to the Father God except through me because I am your righteousness, and I'm leading people to that path. So that's guide. Second word is guard. The chief shepherd shepherded his sheep by guarding them. Listen to what John says in chapter 10, verses 11 through 12. Words of Jesus. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it." right there. Jesus is saying, I am the shepherd of my flock, and I am here, I am so committed to guard my sheep. How committed is he? He is willing to lay down his life, and indeed, he has laid down his life to protect his sheep. The wolf is coming. Wolf is the enemy. And when you read the Bible, when you understand the teachings of Jesus Christ and teachings of the Bible, you will find that the wolf comes in three different forms. And they all start with the letter S. There is self, secular, and Satan. Self, my and your sinful nature, our carnal flesh in our former nature. We become the wolf. We attack ourselves. My old self is attacking the sheep in me. That's the first wolf. Second wolf is the secular, the pattern of this world. Romans 12, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed, because the world is preaching another gospel, another message, which is contrary and contradicting to the message of Jesus Christ. And the third is Satan, self, secular, Satan. Satan, like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. And Satan is always lying to you, deceiving you, to steal you from the pen, from the sheep pen of Jesus Christ. And Christ is saying, I am guarding you. Not only am I a good shepherd, I'm a strong shepherd. I'm the Lord God Almighty, and he has the power and the authority to guard and protect you. The Apostle Paul, in Acts chapter 20, he reminds us, he gives this warning to us about the imminent attack of the wolves. Verse 28 in Acts 20, keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you, and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. Stark warning, the wolves are coming, and yet Christ is strong enough to guard you. Guide, guard, and what's the third? Grow. Jesus, the chief shepherd, shepherded his sheep by growing them. Listen to what Christ himself says. John 10, verse 14. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. When Jesus spoke these words, he was addressing Pete, Johnny, Jimmy, Matt, his disciples. He said, you are my sheep, and you are in my sheep pen, but there are other sheep who are not here yet. I must go, and I must bring them as well, so that they may be my sheep, and I be their shepherd. Jesus was referring 2,000 years ago about you and me. He says, I have lost sheep, and their names are Victor, their names are Joshua, their names are Johanna, and you. And Christ said, I am going to bring them into my sheep pen so that I get to be their shepherd. Friends, right now here, some of you, you are a lost sheep. You don't know where you're going. All you know is that your life is miserable, that you don't find joy, peace, and meaning and purpose. And that's because you are what? Going astray. You are lost. And apart from the good shepherd, you will never find the purpose, meaning, and joy in life. Because he is your guide. And he will guard you, and he will grow you. So friends, come to Jesus. By the virtue of you hearing these words from this dumb sheep, Christ is saying, I made you. I created you. And more than that, I love you. And I miss you. And I want the best for you. And I can give you the best. For I am the good and powerful chief shepherd. Now, so that's how the chief shepherd shepherded his sheep 2,000 years ago. How do we today, you and I, how do we shepherd his sheep. Let me take you to verse 1 and 2. 1 Peter chapter 5. He writes, "To the elders among you, be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care." Imperative command. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care. Peter is declaring that the chief shepherd, Jesus Christ, the risen, the living hope, the risen Lord, he today appoints elders in the local church. Elders have been set apart, set aside, anointed and appointed to do what? To shepherd his flock, which has been entrusted under their care. Elders. In the New Testament, three different words are used to describe the function of the eldership. First, elder, bishop, overseer, and also pastor. All those are interchangeable and synonymous. But their responsibility is exactly the same as that of the chief shepherd, because the elders are under shepherds. They have been appointed, deputized by the chief shepherd himself, and their responsibility and task are, again, to guide, to guard, and to grow the flock of Jesus' sheep. And then Peter goes on to explain the do's and don'ts. So let me first address the elders of the church, and then after that, I will address all the rest of us. Elders, imperative command. Be shepherds of the flock of Jesus Christ in your church. Do's and don'ts, verse 2 and 3. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. Everyone, being nominated as an elder, that is a huge honor. It's a calling from Jesus Christ himself. You ought to be saying, "I am not worthy." And yet, because you qualify the called, and therefore you say, "Here I am." Jesus Christ does not call the qualified. He qualifies the called. You see what I'm saying? I'm not worthy to be a pastor. I'm not worthy to be an elder, but since Christ calls me, he qualifies me. And therefore, whenever you are nominated, whenever your name has been selected, instead of you saying, "Oh no, what you ought to be saying is, "Lord, I am so honored. I am unworthy. But here I stand, willing and able to serve. I get to serve, not because I have to. So therefore, I am willing. I am willing to serve. I'm not reluctant. Serve as an elder. Serve as an under-shepherd. Willingly, not reluctantly." Let's go on. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve. In the translation done by The Message, I read, "Not calculating what you can get out of it, but instead be eager to serve." See, let me talk about the Korean church, about which I'm a bit familiar. In the Korean church, the eldership is so elevated, and they got that right. It's an honor and a privilege. That's so far so good. However, that has been abused and misused, in that people want to become elders for what they can get out of it. It's about status, prestige, reputation. It's about them. It's not about the chief shepherd or the sheep. It's about them. And that's what Peter is warning about. Do not serve as an elder for a dishonest gain, but instead, be eager to serve. Christ says so. "If anyone wants to be great in my kingdom, she must serve. For I have come to serve, not to be served." Let's continue. Verse 2 and 3, one more time. "Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock." Translation, Don't lord it over. Do not boss them. Do not bossly telling others to do what to do. Don't be their boss, but instead set an example. Tenderly show them the way. One of my favorite expressions that I have learned to embrace is this. And I say this to my elders, I say this to Mosaichausers, I say this to any follower of Jesus Christ. I'm an unworthy dumb sheep, but I have been called by the chief shepherd, and he commands that I follow him. So therefore, humbly and yet boldly, may I say to you, would you follow me as I follow Jesus? Would you follow me as I follow Jesus? Peter is saying, set an example, lead, serve. By how? By example. Be exemplary. As elders, you want to be the first one to serve, show hospitality, and pray for the sick, and reach out to the lost. Whatever Jesus is calling the church to do and church to be, you and I, we the elders, we want to be the first and say, Lord, here I go. And everyone, follow me as I follow Jesus Christ. Okay, now, so we talked about, addressed how the elders should shepherd God's sheep today. Let's talk about the rest of us. So Peter, knowing that you will be asking this question, well, I'm not an elder. This is so irrelevant to me. Well, listen to what he says. Verse 5. In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. How should the rest of us shepherd one another? He says it right here. Shepherd one another by submitting. He says, submit yourselves to your elders. Friends, your elders have been appointed by the chief shepherd, the Lord himself, and they are his under-shepherds, and therefore they stand in the authority of Jesus Christ. And that's why Peter is calling us to submit. In his letter, 1 Peter, he is really, really going hard with this idea. Because Christ is your living hope, therefore submit yourselves to the kings and the magistrates, the civil authority. He goes on to say, submit yourselves to work authority, to your boss, submit yourselves. And then he brings it home, literally. He says, wives, husbands, submit to one another because Christ is your living hope. And now he is bringing it to the church. Everyone, submit yourselves to the elders, for Christ has appointed you. So we shepherd one another first by submitting ourselves to the elders' authority. Number two, we shepherd one another by humbling ourselves. We humble ourselves. Peter writes, verse 5 and 6, all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor, grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. In this context, humility means when you say, Jesus is my Lord, he's my Savior, but I don't want to submit to any other authority in church. I don't recognize the elders. Or some of you are saying, hey, I don't like the institutionalized church. I like the organism of church, the body of Christ, but the structure, the policies and the rules and authority, that's enough for me. Friends, you are not humbling yourself. What you're saying is, therefore, I'm such a smart sheep. I can do sheep business all by myself. And Christ says, no, you can't. And that's why I appointed elders over you. And that's why it is so important for you and me to humble ourselves, saying, Lord Jesus, we need you. And therefore, we follow the elders whom you have appointed to lead and guide us, to guard the doctrines of the church, to grow the flock of Jesus Christ. And therefore, we humble ourselves and we sit at their feet. This is so, so important nowadays. We are living in a time and an age where so many so-called self-claimed Christians, they say, I got Jesus, but I don't need church. They are setting themselves for a failure because they are rejecting the authority of Christ and they are so proud that they don't need structure and the accountability, godly counsel. Okay? Third, shepherd one another by casting. You're going to love this. Verse 7, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. You know that verb, that word, to cast? It means to throw down, to hurl. The only other place in the New Testament where this word was used was when Jesus was entering Jerusalem on a colt, on a donkey, and people cast their robes, as if literally taking off their robes and cast them, threw them on the path. And that's what it means. Cast your what? Anxiety, your cares, your concerns, and your worries on Jesus because he cares for you. You are, he is your good shepherd, the chief shepherd. I want you to notice the grammatical grammar in the sentence. You don't see this in English, but it means you all. He's not talking to Victor Ko individually. He's talking to y'all, everyone in this church, in Cappadocia, in the Roman Empire, in every local church, every one of you, you cast all your cares upon Jesus. Some of us, we cast not all our anxieties and worries upon Jesus. Maybe we put half of them down. And we are laden down by the weight of our concerns. Peter says, cast all of them. And sometimes we cast our cares, but then on a rainy day, when you want to have a pity party, what do? You take it back. You take it back and say, woe is me, woe is me. No one cares about me. No, Jesus says, cast all your cares, concerns upon Jesus because he cares for you. Now, here's where one another thing comes. It's not Victor Ko casting his concerns only. He does do that, but more importantly, it's more like Victor Ko coming along your side, recognizing your concerns, your worries, and your anxieties. What do? I help you cast them down. I come along your side. And I hurt with you, I weep with you, and I pray for you, and I say, together, friend, together, let's cast all these concerns down at Jesus. Because not only does he care for you, he has the power to take them on from you and me. And the best place for you to practice this shepherding one another in this context is in a house church, an intimate, small, biblically functioning, giving and receiving trust, showing, revealing transparency and vulnerability. We need a kind of house church, community. It's more than a support group. It's a house church. You need it. I need it. I belong in one. And we are receiving this shepherding of one another together. And the Lord Christ himself encourages you to find a house church. So in conclusion, let's recap. The chief shepherd shepherds you to shepherd. The chief shepherd shepherds you and me so that we may shepherd one another. And he does so by guiding us, guarding us, and growing us. And Peter concludes with in verse 4, it's the best verse to conclude the message. He writes, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. It's a reminder of what awaits you. It's an inspiration and a motivation. When we are being shepherded by the chief shepherd, and when we continue on shepherding one another, Jesus Christ will reappear. He will come again, and he will place on your head, what? A crown of glory. In the Roman Empire, a victor would receive a wreath, a crown that's a wreath made of laurel leaves. But after a while, the leaves wilt. After a while, the leaves wither away. And after a while, the leaves, the crown, fade away. But Peter reminds you, the Lord Christ promises you the crown of glory. And I can't even describe what a glorious, glorious crown this will be. He himself will put the crown on your head, and the glory of it will never, ever, ever fade away. It shall shine for eternity. That is so encouraging. So friends, let's bring it to close. Reflection and application. Has the Holy Spirit given you a promise to claim, a grace to receive, a favor to hold on to? Okay. Number two, is the Holy Spirit giving you a sin to confess? As in, Lord, I confess that I've been a lone sheep. I recognize that you want me to be in the flock with God's people, tangibly, experientially. Receive that confession. Or a challenge. Oh, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, you are giving me a challenge to accept, right? As in, I'm going to go and find a house church. I'm going to go and hold myself accountable to a church authority in some fashion, in some context. Let me pray for you. So friends, in this time, let's just take a minute. Is there a promise for you to claim? Is there a sin to confess? Is there a challenge to accept? Respond to those questions on your own, in your heart. Lord Jesus, whatever my friends and I responded in our hearts, that's a response to your grace, Lord. We follow you as our shepherd, and we pray that you will also grow your flock. There are other sheep out there, lost sheep, and you desire more than anything else that we go and search for them, and we go and rescue them, and that we go and bring them into your sheep pen, because that is what you have done for us. Now, in the name of Christ, protect us, guard us, and make us strong to your glory, for your glory, and for your name's sake. Amen.